Welcome to HRM's first ever audio story, where we put the human voice back into HR. I'm your host, Samantha Smith. If you're in recruitment, you have to ask all sorts of questions about your candidates. Do they have the right qualifications? Will they be a good cultural addition? And maybe, what's with that tattoo? I'm only half joking, because while researchers from the University of Miami and the University of Western Australia found no evidence that tattoos had a negative effect on employment or pay, not all tattoos are the same. For example, a person who might not care if someone has an easily hidden tattoo might still think twice about hiring a customer-facing employee with neck and sleeve tattoos. While some tattoos are a form of expression, others are markings that hold a rich cultural history associated with their religion and/or ethnicity. Choosing not to hire someone who chooses to wear a cultural tattoo could be illegal. In today's episode, we hear from Rawiri Iti, a man who has a full facial tattoo, who suffered recruitment prejudice when he first came to Australia. Rawiri Iti is originally from New Zealand. He's a father, a grandfather, and a great-grandfather. He is 65 years old, the national president of the Māori Wardens of Australia, served in the Territorial Forces for 14 years, and for the past 30 years, he has been and will always be the proud wearer of his tā moko, a full facial Māori tattoo.
So, yeah.
That is Rawiri. In 2003, Rawiri moved to Sydney to be close to his mokopuna, his grandchildren. But when he tried to get employed, it didn't go well. Picture yourself in this scenario. If someone walked into an interview, dressed appropriately, neat and smiling, but they had a tattoo covering a majority of their face, how would you react? You may stare. You may ask them why they had a tattoo, or even question whether or not the tattoo would affect their role. Or you may react how this recruiter reacted to Rawiri.
When I went for my first interview, I basically just walked in and walked out. I saw the look on the person's face, very disapproval of what they saw, and they said, sorry, the job is taken. So you turn around and walk out. So I suppose from that moment, I learned to accept the fact that people are going to look at me differently.
Leading up to this interview, I sent Director of Workplace Logic, Grievous Beard, a photo of Rawiri.
Fantastic. I mean, what's not to love?
Grievous is pretty much an expert when it comes to solving issues in the workplace with emotional intelligence.
But look, obviously for some people who may or may not be, I suppose, used to or accustomed to facial tattoos, it might be a novelty that they are not comfortable with. When you look at so much about what sometimes can cause discrimination to occur, it's not that people willingly, I think, just decide, well, I'm going to treat that person unfavorably because I don't like them, or I'm prejudiced against that particular individual for whatever reason. It's simply because I think they've never, sometimes in their life's journey, met someone from that particular attribute, background, heritage. And so I think sometimes they can then therefore be fearful or afraid of the unknown.
Rawiri felt this fear of the unknown when he arrived in Australia.
And so it was the mere fact that I wear the full facial tā moko, or facial tattoo, that for whatever reason, the people who were interviewing me felt either threatened or couldn't understand the reason why. No questions were asked other than, sorry, the job has been filled.
See, Rawiri's story is kind of complicated. From an outside perspective, it's understandable that a recruiter would react the way they did. But look a little closer, and you'll see how devastating it is to be turned away for something that holds so much cultural significance. You see, Rawiri's tattoo is more than just a fashion statement.
So the tā moko is a cultural identity, if you like, to put it simply. So when the tā moko is done, there's a lot of karaki, a lot of prayer. There's a lot of waiata. song, and it's a reflection of our tupuna, of our ancestors. You would not get that in a tattoo parlor.
And there are many out there, like Rawiri, who choose to permanently ink themselves to represent their history. So why then are tattoos widely unaccepted in the workforce?
So I think there's a range of different sectors that comprise the Australian workplace. Just thinking through that, I think different sectors sometimes have their own different, dare I say it, taboos, unwritten rules about what they consider to be or not to be appropriate.
Looking at Rawiri, his taumoko is breathtaking. There is a line of bare skin, so no ink, that goes from the top of his head down to the tip of his chin. He calls this the line of Io, or in English, his spiritual line. Surrounding his spiritual line are delicate swirls that contour naturally around his face and flow out and down to his chin. These swirls are complemented by dash-like flecks of ink that are deeply ingrained into his smile lines. Each element of his taumoko frames his features. The overall effect is the feeling that his taumoko has always been there, which is incredibly impressive, considering a taumoko is done completely freehand. But the point of a taumoko goes far beyond aesthetics. Each spiral or koru has significant meaning.
They say that our past is actually our future, and our future becomes the past.
Rawiri tells me that traditionally, the left-hand side of the face is dedicated to the maternal whakapapa, or lineage.
Because it's closest to the heart.
Rawiri, however, decided to place his father's whakapapa on the left-hand side instead.
But he showed no disrespect to my mum.
His reasoning is that he was born in his mother's iwi, her tribe called Tainui. So he always held a special connection to her whakapapa. On the sides of Rawiri's face are spirals that indicate where he stands in his family.
Back in the old days, the taumoko was a representation of a person who was either an orator, who was a carver, who was a fisherman, a bushman, all those things. So we've just brought that back into modern time, and we've adapted it to our environment and our circumstances. So the spiral here is an indication of where I stand in my family. So I have brothers older than myself. So the single spiral is a notification, if you like, that I'm a teina, a younger brother.
On his nose is a representation of the knowledge that his parents and grandparents had given Rawiri growing up. On his top lip is what he says is the spoken word, tattoos that carry the lessons he's learnt from his elders.
We will never understand until we get older, but as a young person, we were nurtured by our grandparents, we were nurtured by our parents, even though at times we didn't want to know anything from them. But as we get older, those are the words of wisdom that come through. And it's those words of wisdom that we live by today.
Rawiri finally reveals the meaning behind his chin, and that really drives home how his past has become his future.
I didn't know then, when I got my taumoko done, I didn't know what was ahead of me. But what was in my mind's eye was that I was going to have children, that I was going to have grandchildren or mokopuna. And God forbid that I have mokopuna tūrua, great-grandchildren.
So far, Rawiri has one great-grandchild, and according to the markings on his chin, he has two more to come in his lifetime.
And so the line of Io keeps us physically together, and of course, emotionally, but more importantly, spiritually.
Rawiri has had his taumoko for 30 years, during which he's also had a successful career in the railway industry, like his father and his grandfather before him.
Now, as a 18, 19-year-old, you think to yourself, the railways is the last place I want to be. I assumed that railwayman, in my mind's eye, was a person leaning on a shovel, and I didn't want to do that. However, my father convinced me that it's not a bad career. So it was 1974-75 that I joined the railways, and I joined as a wheel tapper.
From there, he worked his way up the ranks to traffic assistant, and then a shunter, and a senior shunter.
And eventually became what they call an RCO, remote control operator.
He moved to Germany in his senior role and found people were more curious and apparently more accepting of his cultural markings.
But I suppose the time I was there, I would have done 30-35% work, and the rest was just dialogue about our culture.
And that isn't a bad thing at all. Rawiri actually enjoyed it, and it made him wonder, why aren't people more forthright with their curiosity back in New Zealand or right here in Australia?
I think it's sometimes just about even making people feel comfortable about being able to say, yeah, it's legitimate to have a dialogue. You know, ask me anything about who I am and where I come from, you know, and I'll do likewise of you, and let's have a conversation. That's curious and supportive.
Rawiri's own sons can't have a tāmoko because of the nature of their employment. So I put the question to Rawiri, would having a culturally aware policy that allowed for tāmoko help?
I think that, like our language, it was said when I was growing up that the Māori language means nothing to anybody outside of New Zealand, so why learn it? I have my own family members who said, why would I want to learn my language when it's not going to get me employment? So we need to understand the environment that we live in. We need to understand also that if we truly believe in our culture and in our heritage, our whakapapa, then we work our way through it. Do we need policies? I think time will tell whether policies are warranted or not.
Grievous used to be a lawyer, so I put the question to him. Is there any legislation that stops people from deliberately not hiring someone based on the fact that they have a tattoo?
People have tattoos for a variety of reasons. And so some people might have them because they see them as fashionable. They think that that's part of contemporary fashion. Other individuals might have them because of their cultural heritage, because, for example, they are Māori. And so in that regard, an individual who is Māori who has a tattoo due to cultural reasons would be covered off by a separate attribute under discrimination legislation. That would be ethnicity, national origin, race, that type of attribute would be covering off Māori tattoos. And in that regard, that is very clear that race discrimination in employment is unlawful.
When Rawiri did find work in Australia, after his initial rejections, he had to make a complete career change. He became a labourer for an organisation that only hired Māori people.
I felt muscles in my body that I hadn't used for years and years and years.
Interestingly, Rawiri interviewed for the role over the phone, and he got the job. But even more interesting is that he didn't meet his boss until 2 weeks into the role.
When I finally got to meet the owner of the job, his first words to me was, "You certainly look different there, mate."
But it didn't matter by that point because Rawiri had formed such a strong bond with his colleagues. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to stay long with that company.
I then worked for a scaffolding company. Done that for about 3 to 4 months. Then realised that it belonged to a younger person and not me. And then I got into formworking with quite a reputable organisation or company, and became a safety officer there on quite a number of sites throughout Sydney. I then travelled back home, stayed home for some time just to be with my family, came back, and then just found I couldn't be employed anymore.
I think the reason could be twofold. He has a face tattoo, and now he's also in his 60s. So my theory is he's facing two forms of discrimination. I told Rawiri this, and he had a surprisingly positive outlook.
I looked at it in light of, well, I've been fortunate for X amount of years having employment here. This may well be my farewell song to going into retirement, and I've just accepted it.
So knowing what he knows now, would Rawiri still get a tāmoko?
The tāmoko is the most precious thing that I've done to my body, that I will wear with dignity and honour. So the tāmoko as such was not a mistake.